Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The regular NFL season may be over, but our season is just beginning. Rookie versus rookie, starting now.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, the Professor Christian. Nate, what is good?
I'm here, Mike, and I'm excited. I was muted for a second, but I called it quick enough that, you know, no one even really knew until I brought attention to it. I'm kind of hyped, you know.
Yeah.
I understand it wasn't the greatest Super Bowl in the world for the first three quarters. I actually enjoyed the last quarter in overtime, though, it was what it was. It wasn't with the Ravens, so that was unfortunate. But Super Bowl. I thought it was pretty good overall.
True. That is true. Well, that being said, Nate, we quickly turn the page, and it is rookie draft season. I mean,
yep.
I don't have any leagues that are starting this early. I know that some people love to just get going as soon as possible. But sleeper. Nobody can draft completely right now if you don't have players in there. Although I haven't done a mock draft. Well, we did one last Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm assuming between then and now we haven't had any other players added. Have you done any since then?
I did one last night, actually. The players have not been added since.
Okay. Sleeper, let's
and confirm.
You know, we're always saying how much we love you. So give the people what they want. And if you want a mock draft with Nate or myself, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. We're doing free 7-day trials. Come hop in a mock draft, chat with us. You know, you might even be like Joe and find out that you live 15 minutes away from me.
Hey, that was exciting.
Don't specifically move 15 minutes away from me. But if you find out that that just happens to be the case, then that's great. But let's get into it. So today what we're doing is we're comparing players as prospects. These are guys that might be ranked, you know, to some people close in value to each other. So we have to figure out where do we want to go. And some may even involve where the draft pick selection may be. So let's get into it. Let's look at the first one here. Nate, at the 101 in a super flex league, Caleb Williams versus Marvin Harrison Jr. This is a tough one right here because, you know, a lot of people are saying Caleb Williams, the consensus 101, you know, generational talent, which I do think that that phrase seems to get thrown around a little too easy,
in my
opinion. And they've got Marvin Harrison Jr. He's not a nepotism baby. I know who his dad
is. He is generational.
Yeah, but this is a guy who he's done everything on his own. His dad's not out there catching the balls for him. So what are we thinking here? I mean, how are we comparing these guys? To me, Nate, I feel like if you take either of these guys at the 101, I'm not going to fault you for it, even in Superflex League.
Yeah, no, I think there's an argument to be made for either one. I lean Caleb Williams because I think at the end of the day, if both of these guys hit their ceiling, we see it. If you're a top five quarterback, you're valued over Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, now more recently CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who have kind of entered that top tier. The quarterback position is just in Superflex. At the end of the day, it's the most valuable position. And if you can have a top five, top six guy, that's that top tier in Superflex leagues. Now, Mike, I know you like to oftentimes fade the quarterback in a startup, But at the end of the day, you also understand that, you know, the quarterback position when you're setting your lineups is one of the most important positions in Superflex. So I think Caleb Williams upside just value wise just kind of is the tiebreaker for me. But I can definitely see an argument either way. And Mike, actually, you actually like to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101, don't you?
I do. I have a question for you. Just go, circling back, you know, I love that phrase so much.
Yeah, you do.
Would you say right now Caleb Williams is a top five dynasty quarterback?
No, not yet.
Okay, that's
he's not even on the field yet. Yeah.
Because no, you know, some right now he's like dynasty. They like to make you know, assumptions like that. Would you say he's top 10?
You know, he's about that in startups right now. He's about like quarterback 10, I believe, coming off the board. Because after you get past like the top six or seven, you know, you start to have guys that do have some question marks. So at that point, hey, you might want to just roll with Caleb Williams, who, you know, the question mark is we haven't seen him yet. You know, there's all the reason in the world to believe that he's going to be really good. Now, will that come to fruition to 100%? We'll see. But right now, I mean, he's probably just as good a shot as anyone else after that top six, seven.
Yeah. I do love to put the quarterback position. And of course, obviously, sometimes it doesn't always work out, but especially this last year with injuries, man, it's just last year was brutal. But
it was tough.
Let me ask you this: which you have the 101 in a super flex? Right. What are you drafting?
I'm drafting Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I think the only situation where I draft Marvin Harrison rather than Caleb Williams is if I already have three quarterbacks. I have one league where I have Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, and CJ Stroud. In that league, I probably would take Marvin Harrison Jr. over Caleb Williams just because, sure, I can get Caleb Williams and trade him. If I can trade out of the 101 back to the 102, I would do that as well. But if I'm stuck at the 101, I'm going to take the pick that makes the most sense for my team, not the guy I think is just going to necessarily be the best value because I already got three good quarterbacks. Maybe I could trade Dak and keep Caleb or whatever, but give me Marvin Harrison Jr. in that situation because you're getting a stud wide receiver. You know, I think he's going to be a top five wide receiver in Dynasty by the end of next year.
For me, I'm probably, I don't want to say 100% of the time, but more often than not, I'm probably taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, obviously, a lot can change from now until he gets drafted. If Caleb Williams goes to a fantastic situation where I think he's not set up to fail at all, Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to a less than desirable situation, we got a whole different story right there. However, Nate knows, one of the things he does, a good strategy tip, he knows his league mates. Him and I are in a bunch of leagues together. He knows that I like to punt the quarterback position. Like I said, I did. So I would probably take Marvin Harrison Jr., admittedly. But, you know, I mean, we're talking Superflex 101, 102, I think. Yeah. There's going to be some people that are going to make the case for guys like Drake May. You have the Malik Nabers truthers out there, and I get it. I'm not taking Malik Nabers over Marner.
The Jaden Daniels upside with, you know, there's going to be other players taking 101 in some leagues, but in most leagues, we're going to see Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison Jr.
I got to be honest with you. Why draft Jaden Daniels highly when you could wait almost the full round and just draft J.J. McCarthy?
Well, that's if J.J. McCarthy's ADP stays there, which I don't think it will.
I mean, filling out my scouting report for him today, talk about poise in the pocket, makes all the reasons. And a much better – I wouldn't say he's a better runner, but he is a smarter runner with the football on his hands.
Yeah, I think McCarthy's been slept on for a while.
He has been. Also bigger than I thought. I thought he was a shorter quarterback. He's 6'3". So,
yeah, he checks all the boxes. That's a saying I like to use a lot, but – you know, he's gotten enough arm strength. He's shown the ability to work in a pro offense and protect the ball. And sure, not a lot was asked of him, but he did everything he was asked of. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't hate a guy. Like a lot of people say Brock Purdy is just a game manager. He does exactly what his coaches ask him to do. He runs the game plan the way he's supposed to.
If you can execute at the end of the day, that's all you're being asked to do. If you can execute at a high level, which is what those guys are doing, that's all you can really ask for. You know, that's great. You'll take that any day.
That is true. Nate, you ready to move on to the next one?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen versus Florida State running back Trey Benson. So I know that you don't like athletes paying running back. Braylon Allen's got some upside. I think he could potentially be a three-down back in the NFL, but I think Trey Benson could too. Trey Benson's a pretty good receiver of the football. Maybe not so much for Braylon Allen. I don't think he's as good of a receiver, no. But we got to stop ourselves. We've said this before with Wisconsin running backs.
Yeah, I think he can definitely be a receiver if needed, but right. Trey Benson's definitely the better receiver, the more natural receiver, you could say. I'll take Braylon Allen on the ground in between the tackles. I think he's a better runner, a more natural runner, in fact, while Benson has the advantage in the receiving game. And then athletically, well, Trey Benson certainly is an athlete and can, you know, has some really good speed. He just can't match up with Braylon Allen's size speed combo. You know, we're expecting Braylon Allen to run a 4.4, you know, pretty locked in there. And PFF lists him at 6'2", 245. That's impressive combination of size and speed right there, Mike. And you don't get that with every single running back. That's kind of rare to find. Like those guys that are that big have that much contact balance and power and have that speed. Braylon Allen is really impressive from that standpoint, that physical standpoint. And teams are going to like that because teams have always loved that. They've always loved guys they think they can develop. I don't think he needs a ton of development. I think he's maybe a little limited because he might not have the receiving upside. But I can't think of many better downhill runners in this draft class than Braylon Allen.
Audric Estime is pretty good too.
He's a very good downhill runner as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, you know, whatever team Braylon Allen goes to, I don't think it's going to be one that asks a ton of him to do, like, you know, behind the backfield. He's more of a gap scheme runner. You know, you tell him where to go, he's going to hit that hole. And if there's any opportunity for him to make something out of it, he will. But, you know, I don't think he's going to be back there in a lot of zone schemes, you know, trying to make people miss in the backfield and stuff like that and find different holes.
Would you like to know what their current Dynasty Rewind ADP is on both of these players?
I would love to. Yeah, hit me up.
Of course you would. And if you want to, again, contribute to that Patreon free trial, we will happily have you in there. But Braylon Allen right now is the running back 2. He's at the 203, one spot ahead of Bucky Irving at the 204. Just want to throw that out there. But Trey Benson currently the running back 4 at the 207.
So kind of close.
Pretty close.
Rather close in value. Honestly, I think much like the majority of this running class is kind of a, you know, pick your flavor. You know, one person's going to prefer Braylon Allen. Another person will prefer Trey Benson. I can see either one of them going early, mid-second. You know, we've seen Trey Benson even go late first before. Like at 112. You know, in this class, if he's your RB1, then sure, why not? So, you know, I think these guys are similar value.
In case anyone's wondering too, we got my man Hoff on the ADP. He has this sheet set up. It updates automatically every 5 minutes. So all he does is he drops draft in there and it just does its thing. And it's pretty amazing, if I could be honest with you. Hats off to my man Hoff for putting this together because I do not know how to make this. Thanks, buddy.
So, I love what the Discord is creating right now. We're so excited about the Discord. You know, just take another moment to talk about, you know, we would love to have you over there, that 7-day free trial, because we're upgrading, new channels coming out. We are redoing the navigation, the menus. There is just so many places in our Discord. It is comprehensive. I can tell you that it's extensive. You'll find a place for you where you can talk to some like-minded people, enjoy, talk to us. I just love the Discord and I want to get everyone in there because it's a great time.
Yeah. Me too. And props to Sean too, doing a great job retooling everything and moving all that stuff around. Again, something I don't know how to do. So thank you very much. Nate, this next one, I don't know what to do here, what to say. Florida State wide receiver Keon Coleman versus the University of North Carolina wide receiver Devontae Walker. So Tez did not have a good Senior Bowl. His value is plummeting a little bit. And people are really bullish on Keon Coleman. They like the guy. I think he should have went back for his senior season. I hate the player.
Yeah, I think we have two wide receivers here whose value has kind of stumbled out of the gate over the pre-draft process. You know, out of the gate, you know, both these guys had a lot of hype coming out of the college football season. But once we got to the pre-draft process, both of them started to fall. Number one, because people got to look at Keon's tape and see kind of those consistency issues that we brought up. You know, he's got an incredible highlight reel, but, you know, on a play-by-play basis, there's some questions that we have with his hands, his consistency with his ability to get open. So, you know, he's a little raw, but he's got a lot of athletic ability. He plays very well in contested catch situations. So there's still a lot to like there, but, you know, he's fallen down. I think you can tell us, Mike, what his ADP is for DR. I believe it's somewhere like at the end of the second right now, most likely.
No.
We're at the beginning of the year. It was like end of the first.
Actually, Keon Coleman's ADP right now, he's the wide receiver 7. He's at 202.
202 still.
Tez Walker is at the 211. There was a comment I wanted to address. We did a mock. Keon Coleman went in the third round. And this, the viewer said, rightfully so, no way Keon Coleman makes it to the third round. And you're absolutely right. I think if he's starting the slide, somebody that wants him trades up and grabs him. Again, it's just a mock draft. And, you know, some people value players differently. But the 202, I think that's fair for Keon Coleman right now. That's like Marvin Mims last year in that range.
I think Marvin Mims was a bit more late second. I mean, mid to late second.
I was taking him there a lot
last
year, like the 202 to 204-ish, 205.
Yeah.
Just because I felt like that was a good place to, for whatever reason, I just had more success trading into that area, or I had those picks or were already traded for, or I earned the 202 for whatever reason. So, yeah, that it's just one of those things. You know, I do have some concerns about Keon Coleman. The contested catch, we said that he was a contested catch guy. I didn't really see it personally. And Tez, man, those hands, you're killing me. With the hands at the Senior Bowl,
it was tough because, like, I think I said it before. You know, he's just constantly in the right place at the right time, but just unable to finish the play and bring the ball in. That was the theme of the week at Senior Bowl,
and that's how you get drafted in the sixth round. Ask a guy like Quez Watkins, all the physical tools, but ball's hitting him right in the hand. He can't get it. And you know, again, hey, Mr. Nagy, if you're listening to this, you have a lot of wide receivers come in. And then they come out, you know, they have a good week of practice and they take themselves out of the game. And I completely understand that you don't want to get hurt playing. Understand that this is your livelihood. Have backups. One team only had 3 wide receivers. It was whatever team Tez was on. So these guys are out there with their gassed.
He was out there running hard the entire game. You know,
he was. Give him credit.
They were gassed at the end. I don't want to come out of Senior Bowl and, you know, be like, oh, Devontae Walker, day 3 pick. He's a third rounder now in my rookie drafts. I mean, maybe he ends up there at the end, but I still think he's, a late second round pick. He's got a ton of speed, a ton of athletic ability. He's still a good route runner. Like I said, he was getting into good position, just wasn't able to finish the playoff. So there's still something to be said there. And players can fix drops. You know, one of the more recent players to fix drops, Mike, Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah.
He was always getting open. At Virginia Tech, or was it Virginia? It was Virginia, right?
Virginia.
And just couldn't catch the ball. Well, he fixed it this year, and now he's catching the ball and getting open together. So, I could totally see Devontae Walker. You know, you take a chance on somebody. If drops are their only issue, I think it's worth taking a shot on them because you can hopefully coach drops out, you know?
Yeah, you can, for sure. I agree with that. All right, so everybody, if you could please hang out. We'll be right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right back after a quick word from our sponsors. All right, fantastic. Welcome back, everybody. Let's get back into it. So, Nate, we're at the 108.
We are.
Brian Thomas from LSU, wide receiver, or Oregon wide receiver, Troy Franklin.
Yeah, this is a tough choice at the one at the 108. And I got to go Brian Thomas Jr. here.
Okay.
Actually, I was asked this question on Twitter today. I'm not sure if that's where Bob got this from or if he just did it himself. But someone was actually asking, who do you prefer between Brian Thomas Jr. and Troy Franklin? And I like both these guys. I like both these players. I think they're great prospects, honestly. But
I agree.
For me, Brian Thomas, just with his frame being 6'4", 6'3", whatever he comes in, 205 pounds, and the fact that he has the agility that he has for that size and that he can get down low and drop his hips in his routes and create separation through his routes. He's not like Treylon Burks coming out. Like he wasn't going to create a lot of separation with his routes. He was winning with his physicality and his long speed. And in winning those contested catch situations. Brian Thomas is not limited to those contested catch situations and winning in that way. He can get open. He can create yards after the catch. I like what Brian Thomas brings to the table. Also, draft capital-wise, he's expected to be picked up at the end of the first, which, Mike, I love wide receivers picked up at the end of the first because they go to playoff teams with good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And right now, Brian Thomas Jr. is being mocked like almost every other mock I look at to the Buffalo Bills to replace Gabe Davis. And with how Stephon Diggs ended the season, I would be ecstatic about Brian Thomas Jr. going to a team like the Bills. I think he would have all the upside in the world there. Troy Franklin, though, he has a ton of upside as well. I just think with his frame, which is a little bit smaller and slighter, I think he's about, what, 6'1", 185 pounds.
I believe so.
He doesn't bring to me as much after the catch as I was hoping to see with him. Just like breaking tackle-wise. No, he gets open and he can finish off a big play. But Troy Franklin, to me, just doesn't have quite as much upside as Brian Thomas Jr. So right now, they're going about the same place. I prefer Brian Thomas. I don't fault anyone for going Troy Franklin, honestly. I think both of them are very, very talented. But I do lean Brian Thomas Jr. I do think the answer moving forward, though, at the 108 is actually going to be a quarterback. I think it's going to be J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or whichever quarterback has QB4 off the board.
In time, I think it will. I think you're right. One thing I will say, so our ADP, they're 108, 109. Brian Thomas with the slight advantage. So I don't fault anybody, however which way you go. I like Brian Thomas a little bit better. And to me, it's just his ability to make the NFL catches. And you hear the announcer saying it when you're watching the game cutups, just in the corner of the end zone, you know, on the sidelines, he's always getting 2 feet in bounds. I just think that's fantastic. Yeah. The range, the body control, the hands. I just love everything that Brian Thomas brings to the table. And I'll tell you what, if for some reason I'm at the 108 and Brian Thomas is gone, I'm going to take Troy Franklin. I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm still going to be really happy about it.
Well, actually, Mike, if you're at the 108 and Brian Thomas is gone, then I hope you're picking up Brock Bowers or Romo Dunze or whoever's fallen.
Well, let me look at the ADP.
Because that top seven is what you want. So if Brian Thomas goes in there, you're going to get somebody good at 108.
You can't just go with it, can you? Then I would trade back to the 112 and I would
just to get the value, right?
Just to get the value. How's that sounding?
Sure,
Mike. All right, let's move on. By the way, Nate loves to torment me. He knows how much I love multiple notifications on my phone, so he's making sure that everybody in the league was tagging me to this. Thanks, Nate.
Mike turned down money and I wouldn't let him.
I did not turn down money. I was trying to just come to a compromise that was
trying to be humble to
everybody. I'm a humble guy.
Finally won a league and you weren't even gonna celebrate.
No, I won two leagues, not finally one league. Thank you. That one league, man, it's paying for all my fantasy leagues next year.
That's great.
I love
it. That's the way to do it.
That's why you want to win, everybody. Leave the money in league safe. Just that doesn't mean that you're like, oh, I have all these leagues paid for. I should join another league. I mean, if you want to, you can, but you get
can.
It, right? So let's move on, Nate. Let's talk about a duo of Texas wide receivers, Xavier Worthy versus Adonai Mitchell. Is it Adonai or Adonai? I've heard it both ways.
I believe it's Adonai. I actually have heard it both ways. He actually used to go by AD Mitchell, but that was when he was at Georgia. Now he's at Texas. Oh. He said he did not want to go by AD anymore. So
okay. All right. Well, he'll go by AM now. just kidding. I like Xavier Worthy, a little concerned with some of the drops, and they just seem to be focus drops.
They do.
Yeah, but I love what he brings. I like what both of these guys bring to the table, really. I personally like Xavier Worthy a little bit more. Let's look at the ADP, shall we?
Do it.
Xavier Worthy, wide receiver 6. So he's at the 112 right now. Adonai Mitchell, is wide receiver 9. He's at the 206. So there's a
bit of a difference there.
Half round there.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Xavier Worthy overall has more upside because he truly has game-breaking speed. And what he did his freshman year, we go back to it. And I think, you know, I was talking about maybe 2 weeks ago, I think I had a bit of prospect fatigue with Xavier Worthy. And I can admit that. I can be aware of it. You know, his freshman year, putting up almost 1,000 yards, 981 yards his freshman year on 62 catches, 12 touchdowns. It was one of the most impressive true freshman seasons I've seen from a wide receiver since Justin Ross, probably. So to see that, you're like, wow, next year Xavier Worthy is going to be like Marvin Harrison Jr. type level, like 1,500 yards receiving, like Biletnikoff winner. Well, he goes out there. Quinn Ewers is the new quarterback there. He's injured for some time. They can't seem to connect. He only has only 750 yards and 8 touchdowns on 59 catches, and we're disappointed. Now, the drops did pop up, so we were, you know, a little worried about that 10.6% drop rate last year. But it went back down this year, Mike. In 2023, it was 6.3%, which was more than his freshman year, but less than last year. Had 1,000 yards this year. I mean, this guy is one of the most talented wide receivers in the draft class. I'm willing to say that, but I really need to see the drops go away, because there's no quicker way to not be on the field than to drop the ball. We both know that. If he can fix the drops, though, I think he has top five upside in this draft class. I think he can be someone that you're getting a great value on at the end of the first, early second, somewhere in there. On the other hand, though, I also like Adonai Mitchell. I think both these guys are really talented. You like Adonai Mitchell, Mike? I'm not sure if I've talked too much about him.
I do. Like I said before, I do prefer Xavier Worthy better. I could bring up my...
because
too many tabs.
I like Adonai.
Everybody.
I kind of have them tied. I kind of have been on this boat for a while. It's like, you know, which... do I want to go with the upside with Xavier Worthy? I think Adonai Mitchell may be a little bit safer because I don't have any worries about his hands. And he's been a red zone threat for Texas, 11 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has quite as much upside as Xavier Worthy. He's not quite the athlete that Xavier Worthy is. He's a rare athlete. But, you know, Adonai Mitchell, a good wide receiver, not like a technician with his route running, but does enough. I like how he wins his contested catches, though. I think Adonai Mitchell has some of the best hands in the class. And that's why I really like him.
You know, to me, I think he's just a solid receiver with really good hands. Like you said, not anything super flashy. I do have Xavier Worthy. I mean, I have Xavier at a 6.60 and I have AD Mitchell at 6.39. So we're pretty close. And that is with me forgetting to fill out a column here. so I'll have to fill that back in. I have to go back over my notes and fill that in. So subject to change. But I like them both. Nate, before we move on, I do want to ask you one brief question. You just mentioned Justin Ross. And we all know Justin Ross was Debbie Darling. He was hyped up. And then he had that spinal injury, I believe. Justin Ross a buy low for you? Come in. Let's just say you're at the end of your draft and you got a couple fourth round picks to burn. Right?
No.
Liking what's there?
Nope.
Even with what the Chiefs right now wide receiver depth chart looks like. I mean, I know they have wide receiver.
No, I think the Chiefs are bringing certainly one receiver in, if not two.
Okay.
I don't think Justin Ross has much of a chance as I would wish he did.
You think Kadarius Toney is going to take his job?
I don't think Toney or Moore or Ross. I think all of them are going to be stuck at the bottom or on their way out, because I think the Chiefs want to find someone that can actually catch the ball for Patrick Mahomes outside of Rashee Rice and Kelsey.
Speaking of which, they do have Shai Smith on the roster. So,
hey, that guy can catch the ball.
There we go. Yeah, he can. He's okay. Hey, last one before we get into our last scrub pick'em of the year. We got Rome Odunze, Washington wide receiver, versus the tight end one. And to date, Nate, looking at this, one of the highest graded players that any of us has scouted looking at our big board, Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. You want to talk about generational talent? Here you go. Brock, please don't get drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Arthur Smith is your offensive coordinator and you're just going to get wasted there.
Oh, man. I he's going to go top 15. So wherever he goes, it's going to be exciting.
This one's interesting because, you know, like Caleb and Marvin Harrison Jr., sometimes it's hard to go at different positions because obviously play the game differently. Your team could have different needs there. But before we get into it, Nate, Brock Bowers, his ADP is the 107. Rome Odunze is the 106. Brock Bowers is tight end one. Rome Odunze is the wide receiver three. Yep. So, again, we're really close in that Dynasty Rewind ADP here.
Yeah, you know, I think Bowers is obviously the top guy at his position, and Rome is not quite. But also, Rome's a very good prospect.
He's not far off either.
He's not that far off. So, you know, I think you're happy with either one. This is probably the pick here. If you have the 106, you probably have this choice. And in a tight end premium league, I'm probably going to lead Brock Bowers because you just have more upside with the tight end premium, especially because I think Bowers is a player that, you know, he's going to be a tight end. But between his And not that he's not a good blocker, but between his size and how you would want to use him, most likely, he's going to be more of a slot receiver, probably, that kind of moves around a bit.
Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, kind of like how they use Dalton Kincaid. Yeah. That's how I would use Brock Bowers the next level if I was drafting him as a top 15 pick. That would be the best way to use him. And it's extremely, extremely good for our fantasy football teams to be used that way. So that upside in a tight end premium league, I have to lean Brock Bowers. But in a non-tight end premium league, I can really go either way. It depends on team build. You know, there's value in a tight end, but if you already have a top five or so tight end, you don't necessarily need Brock Bowers. Not that you couldn't still use him, but I also do like Romo Odunze. I think he's going to come in here. I think he's going to be a top 20 dynasty wide receiver by the end of the season. I really like Romo Odunze. And like you said, I don't think he's that far off of that top tier with Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. You know, I think all three of them are incredible wide receivers that we're lucky to have in this draft class.
I will say this too. How many years we said the 106, 107 is a terrible spot to be in a draft class. And right now I'm disagreeing with that. I mean, yeah. Brock Bowers going off at the 107, of course, in a tight end premium, it's likely higher. Brian Thomas at the 108, Romo Odunze at the 106. If I get any one of those three players, I'm thrilled, beyond thrilled. I like them all. For me, I think I slightly lean Brock Bowers. Hey, look at me taking a tight end who's trying to copy my last name.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the S, Brock? Do your thing. But, I just feel like, and this is not a knock against Romo Odunze, I feel like it is harder to find tight ends of this caliber than it is to find wide receivers of Romo Odunze's caliber.
I don't think you're wrong.
There's going to be some good tight end prospects coming out next year. We'll get there. But that's a year away. And if I can have Brock Bowers on my team right now, getting me fantasy points right now, because I like to win fantasy football games, I'm going to do that. So even if I have, you know, it depends too, because there's a lot of tight end rooms out there. I see it doing roster reviews. You like the guys, but, you know, there's a guy I'm doing a roster review right now, and he has, I forget who the third guy is. It was somebody not really notable, but it's Jake Ferguson, who I like, Cole Kmet, who I like. Yeah. But if you could add Brock Bowers to that and move Kmet or who else did I say?
Ferguson.
Sorry. A long day. I would gladly do that too, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, move one of those guys as your draft moves along. See if you can pick up another player you like or some extra draft capital. So that's where I would lean. And Nate, would you like to do, can't talk, our last scrub pick'em of the year?
I guess so. Guess I will.
Let's do the scrub pick'em of the year, Michael's version.
There you go. So last week we decided Travis Kelce higher or lower, 7 receptions. And
you decided that.
For a long time he had 1 reception, and I was feeling pretty good about this contest here. And then the second half happened in overtime, and Travis Kelce ended with 9 receptions. And Mike, you went higher last week. I went lower last week, which ends our season with you 12-9 and me 10-11. It hurts.
It's okay, Nate. It's been fun. I will make a donation in your name to the Human Fund. How's that sound?
Thank you. Yeah. How about the Chesapeake Bay Foundation? I'll take that.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Got to protect the Bay, man.
Do you know what the Human Fund is?
Is it your fund?
You're younger than me. You never watched Seinfeld, did you?
No, I've not watched a lot of Seinfeld. Maybe the first.
I need a favor from all the older millennials out there. Tag Nate on Twitter. Tell him all about the Human Fund and what it is. I'll let you guys take care of that for me. Nate, you'll love it because it is a Festivus for the rest of us. So that about wraps it up for us, everybody. We'll see you next time. For Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. If you want to level up above your competition, we invite you to become a member of our Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to our Discord chat, where advice is at your fingertips 24/7. When you level up to our $5 or $10 tiers, you get bonus podcasts, rankings, and specific tier-based chats. We are offering a free 7-day trial for a limited time, so head to patreon.com/DynastyRewind and tier up now.